Hello and welcome to the Social Recruiting Show. I'm Katrina Collier. I'm, of course, author of the Robot Proof Recruiter, and I'm a speaker and facilitator. I'm, of course, joined by my latest co-host, the talented talent acquisition professional, the one, the only, the amazing Glenn Martin.
Hola. I pale in comparison to Audra Knight. I acknowledge that immediately.
Oh. Of course, we wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for our fantastic sponsor, Enterprise Alumni. So thank you for keeping us here for another week. And this week, we are super excited for actually tons of reasons, mostly to have our former co-host and the one that actually pitched this idea at me and started the Social Recruiting Show, Audra Knight. Welcome back to the Social Recruiting Show on this, our fifth birthday.
Thank you. Welcome.
It's funny. I was so surprised when I pitched this 5 years ago and I said, oh, maybe we should do a show, and you just said, all right, let's do it. And that was it. And we did
it was on Blab, wasn't it?
Yep. That was just a pretty good platform back in the day.
It was brilliant. And we had like 100 people that were there that were like continuously getting notified, all the things that LinkedIn doesn't do. And coming back, there was such a community, and then it just went, didn't it?
That's the reason I was going to ask you, actually, because Mark Lundgren put a comment in. He put Blabcat.
Blabcat.
And I was like, I was like, what's that mean?
Blabcat. Yep. Sadly, Blabcat is not around, but we do have a new one. Ah. I'm good.
But it was, because so it was that platform. It was a really cool platform, wasn't it? I just don't think they could monetize it, which is a real shame. But had the community feel, that's the bit I really miss. And then you unfortunately just got too damn busy with the day job.
I did get a little busy with the day job, but it's been so great to see how you guys have just taken it to the next level and kept up, and it's been really fun cheering from behind.
I think the pandemic helped us be consistent.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of gave us a reason not to avoid it.
We did switch days, though. We did move back to Thursday, though.
And your life has changed a lot, Katrina, because you were traveling all the time, right?
Yes. So I went to 5 continents last year and 6 the year before, and this year I have been in England. I haven't even left the country. Can't even get my head around that. So, Glenn, are you going to ask your usual question?
Well, no, actually, I mean, to be fair, if people don't know who Audra Knight is, they need to do their research.
I can assure you there are people in that side channel who don't. So just do the question, Glenn. Glenn's on strike. I might be up for a new phone.
Okay, for the individuals that generally don't know who you are, Audra, and shame on them, please introduce yourself and give us a bit of a context in terms of how you got into the wonderful world of recruitment.
Sure. So I'm Audra Knight, and I lead employer branding for a company that's based in Cambridge but global called Foundation Medicine. And it's been a wonderful experience. I'm sure we'll get into that.
Cambridge, UK, or Cambridge, the other one?
No, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Boston. Yeah, that's our headquarters, but we are global. But I fell into employer branding like everyone does in the recruitment field. And I just fell in love with it because I have a marketing mind, but I like using it in this really niche field. And I like an employer branding. It was such a small community, and I've seen it grow crazy, but it still kind of feels like a small community. We know each other and we help each other. And it's just been fantastic. And I'm definitely highly involved with the community.
Because it's gone out of my head today. What's it called? The brand summit thing.
Talent Brand Alliance.
Talent Brand. No, isn't that yet?
Yeah, I'm on the board of that, which is a community of employer brand practitioners, and been helping starting a mentorship program. But I also kind of helped in different ways. But my 10 years coming up, and they're going to have a new board starting next month, I think. So that'll be really exciting to watch how they grow. Yeah, 2 years I did that, and it's been like I said, when I started, I knew everyone in employer branding, especially in the Boston area, where yesterday I did a breakfast that was employer brand breakfast Boston based. And I was like, who are all these people? They were all new. And it's cool to just see how it's growing.
Excellent. You've got a couple of comments here from Tom Bolt. One was Metallica, yay, but this one's slightly funnier. I was lost in Boston for several weeks one day, traffic.
Oh, I've been lost a lot. It's tricky. It's definitely tricky. That's why I prefer the train. You can't get lost.
Yeah, I've only been through it on the train. If you remember when I got stuck in New York with that blizzard.
There was a snowstorm, right?
Yeah, Steve Levy and Ryan Fraser rescued me so I could get to San Fran, if you remember.
Speaking of Steve, I feel like he was the one guest that was on our show the most.
At least
four
times, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We should have him back. It's been a while.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been crazy. So we sort of have a bit of a topic, and I'm sure that we'll just cheat if that Glenn really wants to. But you're firing your employer branding team, which is, you know, I'm hearing some absolute horror stories. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? There was a company, wasn't there? There was one specific company that just the whole team because the marketing department doesn't believe they add any value or some horror.
Well, I've seen many, many employer brand people this year get laid off, more like so much more than ever. But I will start by saying that my company has been the opposite. They have been completely supportive to all of our employees, just making sure that we're safe and that we're informed about what they're doing and that they're keeping us. So I have had an amazing experience, but so many of my friends I've seen get laid off, and that's been interesting. We can definitely talk about why that doesn't make any sense, but it's been awesome to see that the community come together, and not just employer brand, but I've seen recruiting, you know, TA people reach out to these brand people and say, how can I help? I definitely want to give a shout out to two people, actually. Pete Radoff, he reached out to someone that was laid off that I'm good friends with and said, how can I help? Katrina Kibben, I know, has been like helping people with their LinkedIn profiles and volunteering that way. And then Tracy Parsons has this thing called the Sunshine Project, which I sent to you,
where
she features these people on her website, and she puts a bio on them and she shares it if anyone is looking for employer brand people. So that's been the good part about all of this, is just seeing how the whole recruitment community coming together to say
coming
how.
Together.
Yeah. But what's really been interesting is seeing TA or recruiters that were laid off now going into the job hunting experience and having a terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That's been interesting because they're really coming at it from the other side and saying, wait a minute, this
really
works.
Oh, recruiters really do ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been. And actually, I hope that when they go into the world of work, that they remember that they have that empathy and compassion, having just been through it. And then those that are in jobs actually do realize it could be them in a heartbeat as well.
Definitely a learning experience to say. But man, the horror stories of candidate experience have been tough.
I think it's been increased, isn't it, by the kind of unemployment levels. I mean, certainly here in the UK, the furlough scheme has inevitably led to redundancies. We were talking before the show, it's you know, employer brand, marketing, operational support, you know, all manner of kind of different functions have been impacted. So there's a lot of people on the market now.
And I think people are distressed in general too, so that's probably not helping.
Yeah.
If everyone is kind of anxious and stressed out.
Yeah, it's a hugely emotive time. And that's when kind of like feedback, candidate feedback becomes extremely important.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're not treating your employees well right now, it's going to bite you if you ever plan to hire again, because they're going to have.
Yeah. And every company is going to hire again. They will bounce through this at some point. It's inevitable. It's a cycle. It will, you know, they will, which again, I think goes back to what are they thinking getting rid of their employer branding team? I mean, you happen to be in medicine. That's a really quite good industry to be in at the current time. But, you know, what is your thinking about that? Like the short-sightedness of it, or. That's a leading question because that's my opinion of it. But
I mean, I guess they're just saying, look, you know, we're not hiring right now. We don't need you right now. But I mean, it is so silly, because if you ever plan on hiring again, you're going to need that person. And there's so many things that you could work on in my field. And also, I think recruiters, if you're just having this bit of lull in hiring, you could work on your processes. Of so much of the stuff I do, I could definitely keep rolling with and keep moving with. So it's definitely very, very.
Give us a bit of an overview of what you do. Like, because I listened to the webinar that you just did that came out, and the internal side and the external side, and that was quite fascinating. So why don't you share that with our
So, I mean, I look at it in the two ways. All the work I'm doing is either internally to have to be a resource for the recruitment team, the hiring managers, and all employees, and make sure that they have what they need so that they can share what it's like to work here and feel comfortable with that. And then externally, just I'm building a new careers website, which I'm super excited about, and just making sure our whole online presence is true to who we are. So it's not perfect, but it is who we are, so that people say, yes, this is for me, or they say, you know what, I wouldn't be happy here, and that's great, because we don't want just more applications. We want the right people to apply.
Quality applications, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you think it'd be actually quite a nice little breathing space to be able to catch up on the backlog of projects they probably had to do?
Right. And well, for us, we've still been hiring almost the same, so that part hasn't changed so much. But yeah, there's so much to do.
For other companies. John Rose, who did say that, I bet you can't say the breakfast title three times quickly, which you were, your employer branding breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
He was just being funny. But he does have a question for you. How do you see companies changing their approach to employer branding, especially with remote distributed teams? Oh, good, John. A bit early to order for a question like that.
I think
that's usually a 25-minute past phone question.
So part of the job is to make sure that our culture, whatever it is that we're sharing externally, and a lot of that is having what's called an EVP or employer value proposition. And what I really think is that every company right now has to revisit that completely, because your employees are completely changing themselves and your culture is changing. I mean, they can do everything they can to support you and they can be great to you, but the people are just changing because they're at home. They have different priorities. They care more maybe about benefits or flex work. So you have to kind of revisit any work you've done in the past and say, are we still A, B, and C, or are we shifting to this? And who are we now? And I almost don't want to do that work too soon because we're still going to keep changing. You know what I mean? As we're home, or maybe then we come back to work. And yeah, so it's just keeping a pulse on your culture and where you are at, making sure that, I mean, all of HR making sure that your people are happy, but then sharing that externally. But it's changing so much, it's hard to keep up with and make sure that it's accurate. You just got to keep talking to people and partnering with other departments to make sure you understand how it's changing so that you can share it with candidates.
Gives another reason to not necessarily get rid of everybody in that space as well, because at some point.
Yeah, I think it's important that right now we're doing a lot of surveys on like how people are doing as much as possible, because to make sure that they are keeping a pulse of if they're happy or not happy. So it's definitely, I think you got to keep those surveys up and make sure you know. And listening sessions, which is I think pretty cool, to so people can they can feel like they can just tell you anything or ask any questions. And my company's been great with that. So I think that's
what did you call it? Sorry, I missed it.
Listening sessions. Leadership will come on a Zoom and invite the whole company, and they don't say anything. They say, what questions do you have? And they listen to the employees and they answer the questions, and it's so brave, and the things that have come out you just don't expect, and sometimes it gets emotional, but it's cool because you feel like you can say what you want and you're being heard. And we also have a Slack channel that's called Ask Me Anything, and leadership responds to all the questions you have. And so, yeah, they've done an amazing job of making us feel heard.
Wow. That's so cool. Did you want me to put the question, Glenn?
I saw it. I was just like, I don't think that's a fair question, but, you know, go with it.
Can you see Lee's question? Oh, I'll just shove it up. You know, Lee always puts the interesting question. What is Foundation Medicine's employee value proposition?
That's interesting.
Lee, you always ask difficult questions. This is the social recruiting show. It's social. It's fun. It's light. We expect light questions.
I think that's a one-to-one conversation order, don't you think? I mean, that's
I think that's a good idea. But that it's going to be, I'm evaluating it and it might be changing. But I definitely have an idea about that.
I think we could probably take the whole show discussing that. So good question, Lee, but maybe contact Audra direct for that chat. I was just going to say, you know, from what you just discussed there, Audra, it strikes me that there is definitely a trust base within the business that you work in, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's fostered by the culture and obviously by the kind of leadership team. That's really quite if I'm honest, I think that's quite difficult to really foster across a whole business to a point where people feel very free to ask questions of senior leadership in front of their peers as well, right? Because that is, there is a dynamic to that. What do you think? What do you think has been? How do you think that's kind of manifested? What have you seen in the leadership that they've done to kind of build that trust so that everybody feels kind of empowered?
I think probably the main thing is just that our CEO is just so, what's the word, where anyone can feels like they can talk to her. You know, she's always, when we were in the office, walking around, just talking to people. It doesn't feel like someone that's so far away. So she's just been amazing at that. And I think then when she's hired, or people, leadership have just, they've been the same. It's just been, we're kind of a flat organization, which I think is amazing, where people feel like they can be heard at every level. But I do feel so, so lucky, because I have worked at other companies that were not like that at all. Yeah. It can be so hard.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it, when the leadership are visible and they're accessible. So you don't feel like you have to kind of go through, you know, your manager, their EA to get to, if they're visible and accessible, you know, kind of to everybody, it really does help. I see Lee's follow-up question there. Cheeky.
There's definitely been like almost like the great divide as well. Like the companies that have gone transparent, trustworthy, like we're just being really honest. We don't know. We've never been through this before. This is what we're like. You know, we're doing the best we can. We're human, blah, blah. To the, we're hiding, we're micromanaging, we're adding software to your system so we can see, or you've got to have Zoom open all day so we can see that you're working and all this. It's such a divide. There doesn't seem to be anyone in the middle. It's like the two camps. Have you seen that? Yeah. They're putting monitoring software on to see how long you're working. Not monitoring output, monitoring how long you're physically sitting.
Yeah, they shouldn't have hired those people if they don't trust them, right?
Yeah.
Or the leadership team have a real trust issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get John's question up. Get John's question.
John's question up. John's question up. Yeah. I've heard of several companies have mandated that HR, talent acquisition and marketing should stop using the term culture. That's for yogurt, isn't it?
I'm curious what they should use instead.
Is that John, what word should they use instead?
To John's point, I reckon, you know, the word culture is overused a hell of a lot at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of banded around so much.
Maybe you could say employee experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because people just...
What's it like to work here? What's it feel like?
Yeah, exactly that, Katrina, right? People just say, oh, our culture's great, but they don't actually describe it or illustrate why it's great, or, you know, kind of describe it in a way that where there's an interaction between people. So it just becomes this thing.
Yep. That's a real problem with recruitment content in general, where it's you're supposed to show and not tell, where so much content I see is a video where they just say, we have a great culture, we're like family, we do this and this and this, and the candidates say, I don't believe any of that. That's
where
that's why when I interview people for these types of things, like when they say, you know, we have our team has a great culture, I say, well, can you tell me an example? Or what's one day where you felt that? And you got to dig deeper to get the stories where so you can show it to candidates. Because
apparently it's just easy. It's like yogurt, stir it up. Sometimes the good stuff is on the bottom. Very deep there.
I like it.
Yeah. Actually, I could have said yogurt to you and not got mocked. I did the British version. And I'm forgetting we've got lovely American audience there. I can say yogurt the way I was taught to say it.
Another thing that I'm finding so interesting about the times is so many companies are now scrambling to have diversity and have it an ERN and hire, and everyone's hiring now a diversity person. And it's great that we care about it, but it's just interesting to how different ways they're going about it. I have one employer brand friend where the company just said, you're now going to lead diversity inclusion along with your normal roles. And he said, well, I actually have no experience in that. And they said, well, we don't have we can't hire anyone. So you're just going to do it. So he's trying to learn this. And then they give him no budget. So it's like, I kind of think it's almost worse than
like the black square on Instagram.
What's the black?
Where people, companies just put that. It's like when they put a Pride logo, you know, they put the rainbow on Pride.
But they're not actually inclusive.
They're not inclusive. And actually really it is the inclusive, isn't it? That side that's actually technically more important. Jayashree makes a great point. Jayashree is in my mastermind pod and she's in India as well, so she's up late. And in reality, the culture that is shown on social media by the company can be different in reality.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then it's just because their employer brand team is crap, because it shouldn't be. Like, that's the job, is to make sure that it is authentic and that it, so people get what they're being told.
That's when you get like the brand police in the way, don't you? That were saying, no, you need to, you know,
start
your photo taken and this has to be in this color. And they take out all of the humanness of it. Have you got tips on that? Have you come up against that and then had to fight your corner to say, no, we need to be a bit more human?
All the time. Many companies I've had to do that. But what's cool about us being remote and COVID is that now content just is more authentic, because you can't create a video by going to the office and making everyone high-fiving. So you have to create a video. We just did it one.
Oh my God, that video. You just reminded me. You sent me.
Group high five. That's my favorite. Love it. That's speaking of like not really who you are. Come on. Candidates. So it's been that, like, we just did a recruitment video for our medical team, and every person in the video, even like VPs and high level, they're all at their house filming on their phone. Just, I love it. It feels so much more real, and this is how it is. And we decided not to add B-roll of the office because they're not in the office, and excited to launch that. But
we're getting TV adverts like that. So one of my speakers actually at Disrupt HR Cambridge was at NatWest, and she was on the TV, and it was her in her house, like literally video like this, that they cropped onto. And it's like we're all working in our houses as well. It was like really genuine, real shift. Right. And you think that's on, you know, standard television channel. Quite extraordinary. Yep. From a bank as well.
Amazing, careers websites have always been a bit of a challenge, where sometimes they've been like way too rosy, and then you go over to Glassdoor and it's like 2 out of 5, and you're like, wait a minute, you know, these stuff. So, I mean, really, you just gotta, if you're doing it right, you are being honest.
So how do you get, well, now you, okay, I guess you have to, but still, how do you get that past the brand police? Come on, give us a tip. Give us one. One tip. Fighting brand police. Bribe them.
No, I think it's the best if you can provide data. That's always the best ways to go. So maybe you have 2 videos, and one's like someone's phone, and one's you spent $500,000 on your career's website. If you have the right tools, you can provide the data to say, look, this one's actually the one they're watching and this one's not. And so I think that's the best way to do it. Or just, or A-B testing, if you're putting stuff on social and saying, look, they actually like the one about the employee and it was a silly picture versus this, you know, really professional or stock looking thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you got to show that.
It's the BS meter, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm all a bit skeptical. I nearly said it in full, but I thought, oh, this goes out on tour. Is it iTunes? Whatever, I have to make sure.
Speaking of that, what was the verdict on using emojis on LinkedIn? Are they allowed?
I got told who started that as well. Someone actually started that, who I know.
I do.
Name is Adam Karpiak. I don't actually have to say his surname. He's very funny to follow on Twitter. Apparently he was the one that actually started that all. Maybe it's a bit of a joke. But I find it fascinating. Sorry, LinkedIn, if you're listening, how much negative stuff they're promoting. Really? In the LinkedIn news, it's always really quite negative. But what they're actually pushing, they don't seem to be pushing any good news stories, which I think is a bit of a shame, because there's some incredible stuff going on. So,
I guess I don't spend that much time on my LinkedIn feed, but I definitely use emojis. What about you?
There's emojis at the bottom for our happy 5th birthday. I use emojis everywhere. Do you remember when I was in that presentation in Chicago and I'm sitting there waiting to present, and this other woman's presenting about branding, and she goes, yes, and Gen X, they just don't like memes and GIFs. And that was it. I was just like, I put it on Facebook and everyone, my Gen X friend, was replying, just going in a meme or a GIF.
Yeah, that's so silly.
Yeah, absolutely mad. So
changing tack slightly.
Hang on, you got 1 minute. You're 1 minute early.
I was just coming back to, because ultimately, you know, when you're talking about kind of brand, you know, the idea of putting out a kind of a video-based show on social recruiting 5 years ago, most people would be like, why? I was just curious as to, you know, why you thought it was a good idea at the time, because it was quite ahead of, you know, now there's loads of them, right? But it was quite ahead of its time in terms of, you know, certainly the specific focus area of recruitment and that. Where did the idea come from, Audra?
Where did the idea come from? I just said, yeah.
I was on Lab for some reason. I don't even know why, but I was on that. And so I was seeing all these shows, and there was just not one about recruiting at all. There was just nothing. So I was like, first of all, that's a hole. And I'm seeing a tool that we could use it. And also I knew it. And I did learn so much from every one of those guests. That was the best part, just the networking, but also like just learning. Like I had to watch some of the shows back again because there was so much good stuff. But then the question is, why happened to Katrina? I don't remember, but she just came to my mind, like she would be perfect for that.
And I gave it. It gave it an immediate US European rather than it just being US centric or you. It immediately opened it up like that. Absolutely. Audra is definitely a trailblazer.
Oh.
But also, it's really interesting because if you watch the first few, which I really don't recommend you do, they're hideous, like we were so uncomfortable and people are like, how do you do videos? Like, we've been doing them 5 years. We got used to sitting in front of the camera and just talking. But I mean, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious, the first few. So we also grew, which is really lovely to watch. If you go back and literally watch a couple and then jump forward a year and then a couple more years, you go, oh yeah, God, they really got it by the end.
Yeah. So
how did you feel about the prospect of interviewing somebody? Because it's very different to interview somebody for a job than you're kind of interviewing somebody about, I guess, their area of knowledge or expertise. What did it feel like to do those first couple of shows? And so, you know, somebody's there. You've kind of got to get a conversation out of them and stuff like that. You've got to kind of coax certain information out of them. How was that for you?
I have always preferred that role to being a guest, like right now. I love to bring people up and like share. Like I always like to do panels for conferences so that I can pick who gets to be on the panel. And so that's just a natural role for me. I've never actually wanted to be the keynote speaker ever. I'd much prefer being the MC or hosting a panel. Just a natural thing for me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And you're very good at it.
Great at that. And Glenn, you're amazing at that too. Why do you enjoy it?
Glenn has his 25 minute past the hour question. He literally waits and throws some curveball question at 25 past every time.
like you, Audra, I think it's a great sort of thing to provide a platform for new voices and kind of, you know, and almost, you know, kind of create that stage for other people, because, you know, there's so many, certainly across our industry, peers, former colleagues, and there's so many great people there. Mm-hmm. And I guess my fear is always, like with some other industry sectors, you kind of get these kind of key group of speakers that everybody sees all the time. Where do you get the diversity then? Where does the diversity come from? You know, where does the diversity of thinking and kind of thoughts and opinions come from? So I'm very much in your camp. I just love being able to sort of, you know, ask a few questions and then that person share their knowledge with everybody. You know, it's just wicked.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what do you guys think of recruitment events now that are online? I'm struggling with them.
So you know, I'm a loud introvert, so I never network the room anyway. But I'm missing those random conversations, like Elke Holland and Shannon Pritchett. I've met both of them in the toilet, not in the toilet, in the bathroom, and in the halls and in the breakfast rooms, especially the US conferences that you meet so many people at breakfast. I'm missing that side because I will now pop in, do my talk and leave, whereas I used to do my talk and then go and sit in on everyone else's talk, encourage them on. Like when Shamila did her first keynote, it was really crucial that I was sitting there in the front row and she was going, it really helped me that you were sitting there. So that supporting piece, I'm missing all of that, if that makes sense.
100%.
Really good at and that. I'm just going in and I'm leaving and I'm not going to sit and watch it because I then find, well, I've got all this other work that's right in front of me, so I'm going to do that because I'm not physically away.
Yep.
So, oh yeah, Kendra's struggling as well.
Yeah. I also feel like when you say you're speaking at the conference, a lot of times it's pre-recorded. It just feels like a webinar and there's no, I can't, it's hard to find the energy that you get from the people.
I think a lot of speakers haven't been taught how to, like, we've been doing this for 5 years, right? So it's like really easy for me to do one of those and aim my energy up here and it'd be fine. And I'm very comfortable talking to the camera, but most people aren't. Mm-hmm. And they aim at normal level of conversation, so it comes out downhill.
Yeah.
That's the trouble. You have to over. And there's no prep going on. I've said no to quite a few that were pre-record as mm-hmm. well, because I'm just like, come on, the tech's good enough, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Matt, I didn't say that very well, did I? Breakfast and toilet check working opportunities. Matt, that's how you get
jobs. Not at the same time.
Yeah, take your coffee into the loo and just sit there and wait. Yeah, that was bad. That was such a Katrina conference comment. But yeah, I agree with the pre-record.
Yeah.
But I quite like it when the pre-record, so they did that with SourceCon, but then I got to pop up and live Q&A.
Yes, that's like they're making the best of it, but it's still,
yeah,
it's just not the same. It's sad.
Oh.
What about the flip where because the conferences are virtual now, it might actually open it up to a more of a global audience, because ultimately not everybody can afford to fly into Amsterdam or the US and all that sort of thing. And, you know, I guess it's that balance between broader audience, but the content has got to be richer. The interaction has kind of somehow got to be close as you can get it to the sort of human to human piece, because otherwise, as you said, Audra, it does feel a bit webinar-esque.
It's definitely a broader audience, and that is great. They're cheap, they're more affordable. But are these people actually attending the whole thing? Because I signed up for one, and I went to one single session because I just got distracted by work. So I just don't know.
That's it, right? Because the work is still there. You don't feel like, I'm going to stop and have this entire day where I'm going to listen.
Right, your laptop's in the bag. You're looking nice, you watch, and you get to meet people, and now just multitask, and it's hard to get most out of it.
So it was very interesting. I was having a brilliant conversation with Mark Lennox yesterday, an actual telephone conversation. It was so nice to just chat on a phone and not have to worry about video or any of that. Just, but what he was saying is going forward, he sees it'll be a bit of a hybrid, where it will be like either physically turn up in person, but also have that virtual experience. And they've built a whole virtual thing where you feel like you're walking into the hall and everything. So that to get that, because what he was saying, it's so lovely seeing this bigger audience that's coming from all over. But I agree with what you're saying. I think to stop. But then that's up to companies to say, actually, Audra, it's okay. You switch your work off for the day. You're attending that conference. It's a learning experience. You're allowed to take that time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, again, comes out of the, do they trust you and are they supportive of you? If a company that wasn't, I don't think I'd have to hang out for very long unless I had to.
Yeah.
I mean, is there an argument for the company to go, oh, look, it's virtual. It'll be recorded. You can catch up on the kind of recording afterwards in your own time. Why do you need to take a day off?
Well, again, I wouldn't work at that company. They could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, you know,
balancing act, isn't it?
Playing devil's advocate. You know, some companies can't afford to let their kind of TA and recruitment and HR professionals take a day off now, because as per the title of the show, right, a lot of teams are running lean at the moment, you know.
But what if that day off makes them better at what they're doing when they come back?
Exactly.
I bet
the return's huge. Tom's right, like, loads of the SourceCon content, as you know, it's in the halls and it's in the sessions and it's literally sitting down next to someone and asking for some help. But you just think how much better the sources get from SourceCon and SOSU by physically being there and having that day out. So, yeah.
And also the networking.
It's something that's so specialised like that, I think it's a real shame not to give them that day.
But also the networking, yeah, you're meeting people and you're taking silly selfies, but now that you know them, like, I've met people at conferences and then I know that they're good at this one thing and then I can reach out to them and say, hey, I'm really stuck with this one thing. But because I'm at a conference, I can approach them and ask. And so there's so much more to just learning at the conference, but that networking, you can then, they can help you. That's, at least that's happened to me a lot of times. I remember I met Craig Fisher at a conference and he was talking about Facebook ads and I got stuck with something. And because I had met him at a conference, I reached out and said, hey, I'm stuck here with this Facebook ad. And he was just really gracious and helped me out. So there's just so many benefits to taking that time out. If your boss doesn't get it, then I think maybe present. Here's why.
At the time we met him at SRS thing, got quite drunk. I think that was that time.
I've never been at a conference.
I literally think Craig and alcohol is stressful, isn't it?
I do miss the nice dinners too that we used to get.
Yeah, I've been getting drunk with you.
That was nice too, but not really needed, but fun.
I do miss that human connection. I do think it will be an interesting hybrid going forward, though.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, if I can go in person and it's safe, I definitely will, if it's possible.
We'll see in the future ahead. I mean, Katrina's been on the, what was it, the VR?
The virtual reality summit. That was bizarre. Yeah, so actually it was really great chatting to Matt Burns. So it was his idea. And he ended up 9 hours in his headset. I can literally last the 45 minutes and my head is like about to explode. And I get nauseous from it as well. So in one of the training sessions, they got us to fly. And I was like, I'm just going to go straight back down to the ground and just sit there and not move. Because I literally went zone of green. I was this color. But I was saying to him, the interesting thing was, you know, here I am and I'm having a panel conversation with Tanji. And I said, because the subject was a little on the edge of my expertise, I would have had a few notes in front of me just to jog my memory to say stuff, but because I had the headset on. So because I couldn't just like flick the headset up because everyone would have seen my head go down. To look at the, and I was like, what was I going to ask her? Like in my head as she was talking, I was thinking, oh my God, what was I going to ask her? So that was all very interesting. I probably would have been much more comfortable because you can see the slides on the screen. I would have been much more comfortable doing a keynote because I'm just so used to that. There's less memory involved. It's just so in my, But it was so cool. I did feel like I was on stage next to Tanji, other than my Labrador was going mental at my feet. And I was so paranoid that they were going to hear him in the headset. Like, that was quite weird. So I was kind of grounded in London, but felt like I was on stage with Tanji. But I think the mistake they made there was the time they ran it on. I thought it was a bit of a shame to run it on Pacific time. Because Soscom was the same. Like, why didn't you run it on East Coast time? And then Europe could have joined.
In the middle.
Anyway. Yeah.
But was the audience watching you with a headset, or were they wearing them too?
Some were, and some were just watching the live stream.
So the live stream, had you with a headset going, ooh.
No. It was the virtual reality you having the conversation.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and there's some photos floating around.
It was fun.
All I was doing was, hang on, I need a haircut that looks like this. I was getting really annoyed that they didn't have any groovy haircuts.
Yeah.
I was doing really important stuff. I'm going, I don't look like me.
Have you done any conferences or events lately? I feel like I've seen you doing some.
I've done a couple, just like virtual ones and stuff like that. And like you said, Audrey, it's kind of, you have to be so careful now in terms of just kind of what content you want to share, because what you don't want to be doing is repeating or kind of just generating the same sort of stuff. So there's a real challenge, I think, for conference sort of speakers now to really freshen up their content, make sure that they're not just thinking about, you know, just what they're presenting, but how they try and engage the audience into that. Mm-hmm. I was on one conference and this lady, I can't recall her name, but she was talking about kind of mental health, well-being, that sort of thing. And it was virtual, and she got everybody to do a breathing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst it's really simple, it was really effective. And you should have seen like the actual feedback on her session alone. It ranked really, really highly in terms of the engagement, people feedback and that, because I think there was genuinely that interaction. I think, you know, there's things to sort of take away from present, you know, speakers like that, so you're not just there clicking through slides, you know,
getting you to be more creative. And I do find it tough because I'm pretty well saying the same thing all the time, so I'm having to find different ways and different examples and different to say it, and then sometimes like, can we just do Q&A because I just can't. And also it's more work because I can't just have one presentation and tweak it a bit and just like Glenn's saying, just repeat it, because guarantee if they switch on a couple of them, they'll be like, she's just said the same thing. I don't want anyone to feel like that.
Yeah.
As well. This is quite a cool comment from Matt. I think being able to report back effectively to the wider team on the conference gets boss buy-in.
Yeah.
And helps them see it's not just a day out, but it is work and not just a pace for personal brand building and job hunting. Of course that never happens at conferences. Nobody does that.
No, that's a great idea. So say, I'm going to bring back this X, Y, and Z to the team. So it's not just a benefit for you, but a benefit for the team. 100% agree.
Yeah. I do miss them.
Are we going to see you at any virtual conferences soon, Audra? Have you got anything lined up?
Yes, my next one is TA Week in January, which is actually coming up. I can't believe that. But I'm going to MC. They have an employer branding day. Each day is a different topic. One's diversity, one's sourcing.
It's just Cara, so an extension of SRC.
Yep. So I'm going to MC there. But I also am going to do a panel, and I'm really excited. I already picked one person that hasn't spoken in a while, and depending on the topic, I'm some two new people, which will be great.
Wicked. That sounds cool. And are you popping up on any other podcasts or any other live shows?
It's funny that you said that, because I was asked to be on one, and I said no, because it's the content thing. I was like, I don't have anything genius right now or to say that's going to add a ton of value to people. And I just want to make, once I do, I'm going to call that person up and I'll be on there. But
so what have you just been talking about for 41 minutes? I've heard some great content in the last 41 minutes.
Yeah, it's just a lot of pressure to make sure that what you're saying is so valuable. I don't know.
You know your stuff and you're very good at it and you're well respected and you're immersed in it. So how could you not have value to add? How interesting.
Wow.
You've said some awesome things through this last 41 minutes, so that's bizarre.
Thank you. But I'm going to pick one topic for this, but I guess this could be a good topic. You're right. But this should be a compliment.
I actually think
that I said yes to this one, because I don't say it very often.
The remote access thing, I think the remote, like, reevaluation, and like you were saying, I'm not saying that word, yogurt, has changed and how you're going. That's actually quite really intriguing. I've not heard anyone talk about that. So I guess I find something people aren't talking about.
People generally like redo their EVPs like every 2 or 3 years. But I feel like even if you have one that's only 6 months old right now or a year old, you gotta reassess it because people are changing so much.
I guess.
And do you feel like your workforce will want to actually come back into the office, or they've been quite resistant once this eventually passes?
Most of the people that I talk to are excited to get back in general and ready. But yeah, for me, I live far away, so it's been really convenient to stay remote. So it's been okay. But
you were traveling in really early a couple of times a week, weren't you?
Yeah, I had a super long commute, and I do miss the in-person stuff. But I also worked remotely before, so I'm used to it. So it's been fun.
Is there an argument to sort of say the employee value proposition is dead, and it's now more about the employee connection proposition, given the fact that we're virtual and obviously post-pandemic and stuff like that?
I never heard that. Did you just make that expression up, or is that a thing?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. I like it. No.
Trademark that. Quick, get in there. I love that.
Well, no, it's just that, you know, with us all operating virtually, that kind of connectivity to the business is the value now, right? So let's call it what it is. It's like employee connection to the kind of proposition.
Or one of the values is that you are good at being connected, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Or you index on that. You think about how that fits into the EVP. If you don't like ECP, which sounds like a oil company, basically, doesn't it?
I always have not been a massive fan about EVPs because they are the whole company, where I feel like it's important to have one for each function. And that's one of the things I've done with my company, is messaging per function. So I, instead of just random employees, I went to each department and interviewed 10, 15 people and then created messaging for that department. Cause I feel like they have their own EVP. Like, why you want to be a software engineer for our company is completely different to why you want to be a scientist. So that's why I don't really like EVPs in general. Not that they're terrible, but I think you need more than that.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Audra Knight is now breaking up the EVP. She's basically breaking that up now, and she's going to create something completely new. So you best follow her.
Absolutely. So, as we are coming to the end of the show, I just checked the spreadsheet. Next week, we'll go. I can't believe that we have such an enormous queue. We have the fabulous Chris Raw coming next week to talk about chatbot. Love Chris. That should be fun. He's been helping me a lot this week. Yeah.
So, probably becoming more popular right now, maybe.
Yeah, well, he was in the old, he made it in the Robot Proof Recruiter when he was at Zalando. So, Job House. So, I'm looking forward to that conversation next week at the same time, which is 10 a.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. UK time. Audra, how can people find you other than is the internet niche? If people want to get in touch. I have no idea what was going to come out then.
Internet.
On the internet. Not the internet, the internet. It's new. Just created it.
Interwebs.
I don't know what I was going to say. Sorry.
I feel like I'm lucky that I have such an unusual name that generally you can just find me anywhere if you just find me, which is convenient.
Wherever. Once again, a huge thank you to Enterprise Alumni because we wouldn't be here without you. So thank you for being so fabulous. And of course, to everybody who's written tons and tons of comments in the side chat, that has been absolutely brilliant. Audrey, thank you. Glenn, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Next week, come back again, Audra. We'll have to have you back annually on our birthday. So we'll just book you in for the 6th year. I think Glenn and I will still be doing it for another year. I think we're settled in. Pandemic, no excuse for not being able to deliver this. I'm not traveling anywhere. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Take care.
Bye, guys.